When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Fun with Dumb. Steffi is still out in Europe.
She's out there.
Out there. She is outside backpacking. Eat, pray, love, finding whatever she needs to in life.
It's been a long time.
But she will be back next episode, so stay tuned. We miss you, Steffi.
I miss you, Steph.
And in our lives, things have been moving as well.
Hell yeah.
I've been seeing Rick turn into an online sensation with his food content.
A sensation?
Yeah. It must feel good. It must give you a boost of confidence. And for a lot of people who are pursuing anything, right? They tell them to stay persistent. Because the next week, things might change.
Yeah.
The day after you give up, something might change.
You know that meme where it's like he's digging, he's excavating, and the diamond's right there, but then he gives up right there?
Yes. Every goddamn person in the world has shared that to me. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's just the momentum building was the hardest part. Just like constantly doing it every day. It feels great when you open up when you open up IG and you just see the comments, you see the numbers grow organically.
I'm very proud of you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I'm proud of you, and I'm also happy that you're able to experience this growth and the positive comments and reinforcement that people are giving you.
Yeah.
To keep you going.
My parents are like, the people at church are going up to them saying, you know, your son's eating. I talk a lot about my dad too, you know,
nice.
Just like, so he's very proud. He's like, oh, so now you ended up just eating to eat, huh? You're eating to eat.
Well, now they can't shit on you for eating too much, right? If that was ever a thing.
100%.
Was that ever a thing?
Sodium levels, you know.
Oh, they actually they get you on sure. that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's funny because parents always try to get you to eat more, you know, but now they're like trying to regulate that. But now you're influencing making some money off of eating, which is probably the best way to make a living ever.
Bro, the free meals is the key. You know,
isn't that
I mean?
A lovely thing?
Restaurants are hitting me. And you know what's crazy? Influencers, they get respected like on a different level at a restaurant.
That's crazy, I went
to a restaurant yesterday. The service was a tad bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually when you're younger, they kind of take you lightly. You know what I mean? They'll take the side dishes to the older gentlemen or like the older couples, but when they know that you're shooting something for them, they bring out the best cuts. You know, there's a different shimmer to the kimchi.
How are you gonna feel when you have to turn down a free meal?
Yo.
That sounds crazy that sounds to me right now. Crazy. That you're gonna have to turn down a free meal.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, the tricky part is I don't know, like these grand openings, these new opening spots, I don't know what their food tastes like.
Yeah.
But they invite me over and they're like, yo, could you shoot something for me? So I don't want to lie on the content because people actually, a lot of the followers that I have, they actually go to the restaurant to check it out. Mm. You know, like I'm influencing them to go there.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky situation because if the food's trash, but I already committed to shooting a content for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, man. Running a business nowadays is really tough. And I was just thinking about this because I have several friends who own restaurants.
Yeah.
Like, that is a very tough business to keep alive.
Yeah.
Even the margins and the work hours. I don't know even if it's worth it to open a restaurant.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm shedding light to a lot of these OG hole-in-the-wall spots.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, I'm thinking the more business, the better.
Yeah.
But then I get a lot of complaints in my DMs like, bro, like, stop showing all
promoting
these.
Promoting this
place. Stop promoting this spot, you know?
Yeah.
They're gatekeeping it, you know?
Oh.
Like, they're gatekeeping it because, and then I put on my story today, just like, what's the benefits of gatekeeping a spot? And I'm reading the answers. There's a lot of good points. It's like, when when there's more people coming through, like, restaurants have a hard time scaling it larger.
Right.
So the ingredients start to lose quality. Do you know what I mean? The quality of the food starts to lessen because now they have to deliver more.
Nah, but that's up to them to keep up with the quality.
I mean, everyone likes money, right? Right. Like, you want more business. But also at the same time, a good reason was a lot of people just go there for the gram. A lot of people go there not even to really enjoy the food, but to show that it's like going to a concert.
I disagree with that. I think people are going essentially to eat delicious food.
Right.
I mean, the only reason I can think of why I would gatekeep a place is just my pettiness. That is the absolute only reason I would gatekeep a place.
Honestly, that's exactly how I felt.
It does get kind of annoying when people ask you, where did you get that? You know, I don't like answering that, so sometimes I just share it.
Yeah.
Because if you just, you know, share a food item, then yeah, they're going to always ask. And what, are you going to respond to like 10 DMs? You know?
Exactly.
Whatever. I mean, I don't need to share my content either. But
I'm not really going to answer DMs anymore, man. You know what I mean? I've been way too... Ooh,
someone's changing up real quick.
No.
Someone is changing up.
No, but like you said before, like I was too available to people. You know what I mean?
Okay. How does it feel to say no?
It's hard. It's different. Different. But it feels... It's. I'm not saying no because I don't want to disrespect them. It's just because I want to make sure that I'm exerting enough energy to continuously keep going.
And you know what, let me tell all the listeners out there, Rick is infamous for saying yes to everybody and everything. He is a people pleaser.
I'm a PP.
He's available and reliable. If you need the refrigerator moved, he will say yes to that.
Oh yeah.
If you have a dead possum under your house,
or if you need to kill a possum,
he will say yes to either.
Yes.
Either a removal of a possum, you know, or just even if the possum has babies and someone needs to raise them,
but
he will say yes.
Yeah. You know what I realized? I was saying yes because I had a lot of free time.
Oh,
does that kind of make sense?
I love that.
It's so, like once the schedule started building and then like I had like a workflow.
Yeah.
I realized it's hard to say yes, even if I want to.
You finally had stuff to stay busy with that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
That you care about.
Yeah.
And now you don't have time to do these little tedious things.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, I just moved homes too. You know, I moved out of Koreatown. Yeah.
For being a trader.
Yeah. No, I'm like right on the outskirts.
Yeah, good luck with that salad content.
Yeah. The weaker salad content.
Yeah.
No. And then I told Donna, my girl, I was just like, I'm sleeping a lot better. It's like, yeah, because you're doing shit. Because you're physically like, you know, working out. So yeah, it just feels... I had this aha euphoric, like this epiphany, just like, you know, the more you do, the less you're going to be available to people.
Yeah, 100%.
And in my mind, to the ones that don't understand that, they think, oh, he's getting Hollywood.
No. I completely understand what you're saying because I stay busy with work stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to do shit for people. I keep my schedule packed.
Yeah.
So when someone asks me for a favor, like pick them up from the airport, help me move, I genuinely don't have time to do that.
Yeah.
And usually I say I'm too busy even when I'm not busy, and I fill up that time with something to stay busy with.
Right.
So I don't feel completely
I'm working
shitty.
On myself.
Yeah, I don't feel completely shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm not working on something, it's myself. Saying, I don't have time for you.
Yeah.
You know, but I agree with what you're saying. I think that's what it is, and I think that's what happened.
And also, like, another advantage you get from that, it's a natural sifting process of your supporters. Because I don't want the support from the ones that don't understand that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? The ones that are like, oh, he's changing. It's like, dude, my block button is active these days, bro.
Your block button?
My block button.
Who are you blocking?
I'm just blocking anything that the energy is not, you know, just...
Yeah.
People, you know, like I get comments like, oh, he just used to be my favorite rapper, but he's just a fat face now.
Oh, my God.
Block.
You know what? People don't use the block button enough.
The block is cool.
That block is great,
yeah,
man.
You know, I do a little... I don't permanently block. It's not a Sharpie block. It's a washable marker block, which means a temporary timeout. You know what I mean? Give them a month to think about it.
People really think that we're just here just for them.
Come on, Jay.
We're making stuff just for you.
I was, like, though.
What I mean. Yeah. Rick was doing a cameo, like, album for people. Like, this album is for you. Anybody want to book me for a cameo? I'll make a whole album just for you.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying, man. Like, live your life. you know, go at your pace.
Yeah.
Let people follow you. You don't have to accommodate. I'm glad that this whole experience is teaching you that.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I look at you different because, you know, when I wasn't experiencing this, in my mind, like, I mean, it's been a while since I thought this, but it's just like, damn, Dumb's like kind of distant, or like, he's just so occupied all the time. And then I was like, it's so selfish of me, or like so naive of me to think that. It's just because the workflow was different.
What's up, y'all? I've been having some health issues recently, and I don't know if you guys are like me. I find the process of finding the right doctor incredibly intimidating and also a headache. Luckily, there is ZocDoc. It is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. Use some experts. Sometimes I'll be going down rabbit holes on TikTok or consult my group chat full of idiots for medical advice, which is stupid. There's thousands of medical experts right now on ZocDoc, and also patients who've used these doctors. We do that on Yelp with restaurants and food. We should be able to do that with doctors. It's obvious. Right now, go to ZocDoc.com/dumb and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours, which is super important. Availability is key, right? That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. ZocDoc.com/dumb, D-U-M-B. Stop playing with your health and download ZocDoc.
Bro, I literally, this is one of the, I'm probably one of the most stress-free dudes because I don't do anything I don't want to in my life or take on projects I am not passionate about.
Right.
100%. I really don't. Like, and it's a privilege that I've worked myself to this point.
Yeah.
But it's just not worth it. You know, saying yes to that thing that's just going to bring me stress and I'm not passionate about.
And it's so crazy. After saying yes so many times, at the end of the day, I still feel like I was behind. Yeah. Like, and then also, like, I didn't get the reception that I wanted from them. They'll still be like, oh, Rick is, you know, whatever. But now that I'm kind of like self-creating myself and just doing it on my own pace and saying,
I mean,
no,
Unless the bag is good. If the bag is, for a certain bag, I will be like the liver king and eat testicles right here on this podcast. Real shit.
Hell yeah.
You know, but otherwise, no, yeah. Hell no.
I mean, I have a lot of life changes coming. You know, I got some big news coming. And I'll share it on the pod, you know, in a few weeks.
Okay, cool.
But this is I need to straighten up and just kind of have a different paradigm shift, you know what I mean?
Do you think what made this shift? I mean, because we've been talking about you creating content, specifically food content, for a long time.
Yeah.
What was the thing that did it? Was there a specific thing like
there was? Oh yeah, and I want to piggyback off. You had that tea talk, whatever, right?
Yeah,
the other day.
Uh-huh.
Yo, JL was like moved by your speech, bro.
I'm not gonna lie, it was the smartest I've ever sounded. And no, I don't know why.
He texted me during the speech. He's like, dude, he's been speaking for an hour, but I'm engaged. I've never been disengaged for a while. And then what he was telling me was how you're talking about aging as an artist.
That it's tough, yeah.
That it's tough, and also just like you have to adapt to it. And yeah. You know, this whole food thing too, like the reason why I went full speed with it is like I want to find what I love and what I enjoy doing and find out how I could make that into a business, how I could make that into work.
Well, let's talk about what you just brought up.
Yeah.
In that talk, what I was talking about, they asked me how do you stay mentally healthy throughout this process of creating and being in this industry.
Yeah.
And I told them that it's hard because this industry doesn't prepare you for aging. You know what I mean? And that's why I think so many young artists pass away at a young age.
Right.
Because we are fed that youth is the hottest thing, and their youth is exploited as almost a brand, as this eternal infinity, you know, immortal being,
for sure,
you know. And they don't show or prepare you mentally like what it means to age as an artist, that aging is okay,
right?
It means wisdom,
right?
You know,
it's kind of like that the lady that was like used to being pretty. Do you know what I mean? And then she's like at the bar now, like eight, like older, with all the rings, mad cosmetics on, because she wasn't mentally preparing herself for the beauty to fade, for the ones to keep it, you know? And I see a lot of artists like that too. A lot of older artists, or a lot of older people that I know, that they haven't really trained themselves to approach the age, to approach becoming older. So now they're like they're like kind of like scurrying around trying to find peace within themselves, but it's like it looks so sad.
I think there's a problem happening with youth and OGs. There's a lot of OGs that make older people sound bitter.
Yeah.
And jealous.
I mean, let's say there's a difference between old and OG.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
There's old G and then there's OG.
Yeah. And then the youth just shit on older people.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
I mean, understandably, because they're getting shunned. You know what I mean?
It's each other's fault because the older people actually exploit young people in the industry for money.
Yeah.
And young people feel exploited.
Yeah. Taken advantage of.
So, and then you get the third step where like the old OG starts shitting on the young for feeling acting cocky and all that. But when they're the ones who created these monsters.
For sure. And if you think about all like the successful OGs, they were always open arms. You know what I mean? They always like kind of adapted to it or like really collaborated with them in a healthy mentality. Not like, okay, well, this is a grab. This is something like an opportunity.
I think the biggest problem with this industry is that with age, if you're a person who started young and then you become older and you know, you're blessed enough to make it to that age.
Yeah.
I think you don't want to give up your youth. So what you have is big kids. Instead of OGs, you have big kids.
BKs.
Yeah, BKs. Yes, BKs.
Yes.
And you have these big kids that don't want to let go of the limelight yet.
That's true.
So they shit on the younger kids, but they actually just want to remain. They don't want to be supportive because they still want the limelight.
Yo, I mean, now that I think about it, even outside of artistry, just physically people feel like that. Do you know what I mean? Like let's not even talk about the industry. Just as you get older and you lose physique, people have a hard time letting go of that or accepting that.
For sure.
So imagine on top of that, it's like your brand and like how you look, your marketing.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother stress level.
I felt like while I was explaining that, I was just talking about myself. I was kind of like, why do I know this so clearly? Oh, it's me.
It's me.
No, I mean, I think that a lot of that comes from a little bit of experiences that I've had personally. It's not easy, I think, to realize like maybe you're not that person in the limelight amongst the kids no more.
Yeah.
You have to grow up and you got to go into different areas. And I know you're dealing with that too, because there might be some kid under your comments trying to troll you about where's the album, but you're pivoting into other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you something. Well, now that, you know, you're multifaceted right now, but before, when you're younger, like 18, 19, and you say you're a rapper, they're like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Do you say, when they ask you what you do, saying you're a rapper is kind of tough sometimes.
Oh, you think like at a certain age?
At a certain age.
Like we're in our mid-30s. And yeah. I think like that's... You consider that to be a little bit older.
Do you say artist? What do you say? Artist? Well, I mean, like I said, you have a lot under your belt.
You know, that's actually a really, really good question, because most of our lives, the main thing we are known for is as a rapper.
As a rapper.
Yeah, but it's like in the last few years, we haven't done as much rapping, I would say.
I'm a lettuce rapper now. You know what I mean? I'm a...
You're a narrator.
I'm a narrator.
Yeah. But I mean... You can rap in different like you're rapping your little narrations on your videos. I didn't mean to say little narrations.
Your little cute narrations.
No.
Itsy bitsy lettuce wrapped around the meat.
But what I'm saying is, you're putting that into this different art form that you're doing. Like Lin-Manuel, right? Like he comes from rapping. Now he's making songs for like Little Mermaid. He did Hamilton.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure he considers himself as a rapper still as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you want to do what you're good at. Mm. And I'm good at eating and I'm good at rapping.
Yeah.
So
if anything, you just really found your calling to the max.
I might make an album called Let Us Rap. Like, Let Us Rap.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
Something. But I think I found a niche right there. I think people enjoy it. Yeah. And yo, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting a lot of cool followers on Instagram. You know what I mean? Just a lot of blue check motherfuckers. and just like artists.
I think you should
actors.
I think you should be more embarrassed by saying things like, I'm getting a lot of cool followers on Instagram more than you saying that you're a rapper, to be honest.
No, but I'm
that's
just saying,
the stuff you should be embarrassed about.
The freaking female engagement right now is ridiculous.
That's something,
man,
that you're not used to.
I'm not used to it. Are you kidding me? I get German producers. I get German boom bap producers.
Okay.
That's been my DMs. It was just like, you know, little MP3 files of like, you know, Dilla beats and stuff, which is cool.
Okay. How did you tell, how could you tell that the female engagement, I mean, you just, more comments of hot girls?
I mean, not even hot. I'm talking about, it doesn't have to be hot
just
or
girls in
just
general.
Girls in general. I think
what's flowing with twos in the comments or what?
No, I'm kidding. Come on, dude.
I'm kidding.
Nah, but it is a blessing. It just always feels nice too. Every time, you know, you have nothing to do or like you have a second to look at your phone.
Yeah.
It's just like a slew of just, you know, interactions. It's just, it's affirmation. It feels like, oh, people.
And
like
you
it.
Weren't getting this with your rap content.
Nah, I mean, you know.
Really?
Yeah, you know, with rap too, it's like, it's a very, with my style, it's a very particular style of rap, you know what I mean?
Girls like boom bap lyrical stuff as well. Have right you... right.
No, of course there's a certain look for boom bap loving girls. Do you realize that? Mm-hmm. Like at a Woo concert, you see them,
come on,
like a Future concert.
Yeah, it's
and
different.
Then a Woo concert, the girls are a little different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, where's the hot, you know,
the girls, the girls at Wu-Tang concerts, they have like the gel mace, you know, like they have the Timbs. It's a different
but they're
look.
Still hot. They're still hot fans in the Wu-Tang fan base as well, right?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You can relax, bro.
No.
You can give me a joke. No. All girls that love hip-hop to me is my first love. That's amazing. You know?
For sure. 100%. 100%. Nah. Well, I'm happy for you. I'm feeling a little under the weather. So yeah. I did get a COVID test recently. Because I was like...
You know, these are things you should say as soon as we walk into the apartment.
But I took the COVID test. Yeah. I'm good.
Okay.
But like,
that's still
it was weird though, because I was like, "Yeah, should I even get a COVID test, or is it just like a classic sickness?" You know what I mean? Because I wondered that too. It's I don't remember the last time my homie got COVID or something.
Yeah. My homie from Virginia, he got COVID recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
So I got a COVID test and I swabbed the thing and I'm following the steps because it's been a while since I did the test. And it was like, step four was like, swab it around your nose, right?
Yeah.
Step five was remove it from your nose. And I was like, I think we could have skipped that step five and just gone to like put it into that liquid
and
rub it around there. Literally, the whole step was remove the swab from your nose.
Could you imagine the guy like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah, I was like, that was just a funny step. But anyways, I'm feeling good. It was fine. It's just the congestion. I think it's like allergies or something. But I've never been allergic to anything in my life.
I heard people develop allergies, man.
Really?
Yeah. I was allergic to peanut butter back in the day, but now it's gone. Like, it just comes and goes. I don't know what the
fuck. You just eat through it?
I just eat through it, bro.
Yo,
let's be honest, man. Lactose intolerant? Tolerate it. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I agree with that, bro.
I think placebo effect is very strong. Like, it's your body. And I say this respectfully because, you know, I'm not in the medical field.
Yeah.
But as Koreans, when we were growing up, chamo, which means just endure it.
Endure it, yeah.
You know? And right when you did that, I got a stomach ache. Right when I said that, I got a stomach ache.
No, but I get diarrhea and upset stomach when I eat too much dairy.
Yeah.
But I just do it. I just do the deed. I take a shit, I let it explode out of my ass. I'm okay with it. Look, long as you have a toilet around, it's okay to have diarrhea.
Yeah,
diarrhea is only a problem when you don't have a place to release it.
It's an accessibility thing, right?
Yeah, like diarrhea might be a problem like if you're in the car and the nearest exit's like 25 miles away.
Don't have a Haagen-Dazs when you're on a car trip.
Nah, you know what I mean? But you got you're in your house and you have diarrhea, it's okay.
100%.
I don't even call it diarrhea at that point. I just got to take a shit. The shit might be a little bit more explosive. I just got to take a shit, though.
I agree.
Diarrhea is only when... the time is running out. Yeah. Then you have diarrhea.
Then you have diarrhea.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a plain old shit.
Yeah. If there's no countdown situation.
No countdown, it's a It's diarrhea when there's a countdown.
That's a fucking bar.
That is a bar right there. We're clipping that for sure. We are clipping that.
Oh my gosh.
But going back to some of this allergy stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying I'm the perfect human being.
What are you saying then? Wait, hold on.
But
who starts a sentence?
I'm sorry. Like I know that sounds crazy.
I'm just saying I'm a perfect human
being. I have 20/20 vision. Always have had 20/20 vision.
Relax, bro.
No, it's just tough because every time I'm around people,
yeah,
they're like pulling their glasses out. They can't see a thing. They're looking closer. I've never had this problem.
That's crazy.
Never had this problem. Never was allergic to a single thing.
Mm.
Ever. And I'm not saying
perfect as in like you don't have these defects. Like
I've never had many defects in my life.
Okay.
I mean, I know that sounds crazy.
How's your hearing? Your hearing's good.
My hearing is fantastic. I can taste every little flavor and ingredient.
Oh, you're not ticklish either, or what?
Like, I'm not a perfect human being, but I may be superhuman. That's what I'm saying.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was, you know.
I had crooked teeth, though.
Oh, see, that's fucked up, bro. I'd rather have bad vision than crooked teeth, to
You'd
be
rather
with
have
you.
Bad vision than
crooked teeth? Well, crooked teeth is fixable, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How crooked were you talking about? Did you get it fixed? Because it looks good now. Invisalign situation?
I mean, yeah. No, I had braces.
You had braces.
Not Invisalign. Yeah. But Invisalign's like the modern braces, I guess. No, people get actual braces, too. Is Invisalign like the new braces, can you get both?
I don't remember the last time I've seen.
Have braces? People actually have braces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or has Invisalign that thing like replaced braces? I don't know.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think you know. Yeah. You know, like how gel replaced mousse, kind of like that kind of situation.
Yeah.
It's an aesthetic thing. Speaking of perfect man.
Yeah.
We didn't really touch base on your performance in New York. You want to talk about it, or
did we not talk about that?
Not at all, because we had EXO.
Oh, yeah. Well, I ate on the stage.
I was going to say, as someone who's never fallen on stage in public.
You've never fallen on stage?
Come on, dude.
I mean, is that embarrassing? Yeah,
I mean, you know this like debate that we had about DJ Zoe being my or your DJ?
Yeah.
I've never fallen in front of him. That's your DJ.
You know what I mean? I haven't realized that I've could be very clumsy on stage. I usually, because I like to engage with the stage monitors.
Yeah.
I've like slipped off the monitors.
Right. That. I do that. My favorite move now is the Captain Morgan stance, where like I put one foot up. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of, that's my move. I don't know why. But back to the performance, I heard it was raining, right?
It was raining and it was like literally the only rainy day out the beautiful week.
The stage
was wet. And if you see the clip of me falling, like I'm just doing a gentle like skip to the other side, like nothing crazy.
Nah.
But I guess I hit like a really slippery area and fell to the ground. And I was genuinely, I fell so hard that it was embarrassing. as soon as I hit the ground, I'm on the floor. I decide to lay completely flat on my back and do a snow angel to make everyone feel like it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know,
did you hear like a groan from the crowd?
Yeah,
or like
the crowd. Because I saw people tag me from different angles, and all I hear is ooh. And then it was, I think they felt bad for me because I got up and everyone started applauding. It's okay. He doesn't take himself too serious. Like it was kind of embarrassing.
Idiot rising.
The applaud was more embarrassing than anything because they're like, yeah, it's okay. Dumb's old.
That's like a comedian bombing. He's like, you're doing great.
Yeah. There was a little bit of embarrassment there.
I mean, you know, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I memed it myself.
Yeah,
and beat everybody to the
punch. That's the move right there.
That's the move.
You got to meme yourself before everyone else.
Have you had any moment on stage where you felt embarrassed?
Yeah, I was performing for a church one time.
Yeah,
and you know, you can't curse at all.
Okay,
but I was so in the moment. I was like, make some like this is in front of youth group kids, pastors, parents. Make some. Oh no, I was like. Give me a big ass. And I was going to say give a big ass scream. But when I was saying ass, I just held the ass because I didn't know what else to do. Big ass until I ran out of breath. You know, little things like that.
That's not embarrassing. That's just like you just feel like you're messing up. You know, I'm talking about like you did something where you felt very uncool.
Nah, not really.
You have no shame.
No shame. I mean, forgetting your lyrics is up there. Forgetting your lyrics.
That's up there. That is up there.
When you forget your lyrics, if you do it before the first, like
do you
halfway
mean you
through
forget
the verse,
the lyrics, or you forget your lyrics, like you are like, I forget, like you lose confidence. I forget I'm lyrics. You know, like yeah. Is that what you mean by that or no?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to go deep.
Okay. Yeah.
But when you forget your lyrics, the restart works only when you're like in your first verse. When you forget your lyrics halfway through the song, you know. Because you know the trick that you do.
Yeah.
The trick that you do, like.
This is, I guess, I don't know if we've ever clipped this, so yeah. Maybe we should actually, I should reshare the story. So when I forget my lyrics, I look back at my DJ. I say, Zoe, cut the music.
Yeah. And with authority.
With authority. You got to do it with authority. Like you have something to say. And then you look over to the crowd and you go, oh, y'all ain't hype enough. Y'all ain't hype enough. Make some motherfucking noise. When I put the music back on, I want to see you guys twice as hype.
You shift the blame to the audience?
Yeah,
that
you
quick?
Shift, you blame the audience.
Yeah.
And then you go, Zoe, play that back from the top.
Have you ever done that and fucked up again?
Yes. Yes. At that point, you're done. They're done. At that point, you fucked up. You fucked up. Or you could double down.
You double down.
And go, you know what? We're not doing that one. We're not doing that one because y'all must have forgot how much of a banger that joint is and who I am. We're not doing that song.
Oh, you completely give up on
like,
the
I'm
song.
Taking that one away from you guys. Yeah, you got to give up.
Holy
shit. That's pretty much kind of my move.
That's the move.
It's the move. It's a great move.
I mean, it's a
but
great move.
I've like leaned into like joking about that now. Like I'll do that move and let them know that's what I do. I'll explain exactly what I just did. You know, and it's funny. It's a funny bit.
It's a great bit.
Yeah.
The worst is like, you know, when you have the hardcore fans in the front and they're mouthing all your lyrics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're messing up. You're flubbing. They just look at you like, come on, dude.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It happens to the best of us, man.
Yeah. I mean, we've been going through some changes in our podcast regimen, man.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited. So, you know, I hope everybody stay tuned. We got some exciting things coming up. We're raising up the quality of everything.
Yeah.
And stay tuned. We got something we're doing at Ahead in the Clouds, 88 Rising as well.
We got some guests coming too.
We got some guests pulling up over there. We're going to do something. If you're going to be at the festival, make sure you hit us up at the Los Angeles one.
I don't think we've ever talked about this. Why did you start Fun with Dumb? Like what was the mission statement? What was the vision?
I love talking. I do. I truly do.
Yeah.
And having conversations and roasting.
Right.
And I was like, why aren't we like putting these moments down? You ever think about all these episodes we did and all these like moments we've shared and the conversations we've had? Like,
I'm not gonna lie.
It's kind of cool to have an archive of that, right?
Yeah. And also, they're not like cringy to watch. You know, usually when you put out work and you revisit it, it's like photo albums for me.
Yeah.
Because, yo, we do so many. We do so much that sometimes we even forget, like, if we talked about this, if I said this joke, if I, you know.
I use it as like a, just like a journaling system.
A journal.
Journaling.
Yeah.
A journaling system.
Yeah.
Like I take bits from things that we've said or clipped.
Yeah.
And make it into a bigger thing. Like you might see it on a show one day.
Right.
You might see it on a TV show. You might see it on something I'm working on my stand-up set. So I use it. You know what I mean?
It definitely helped me with my rhetoric too, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like before I was I had like a shyness to talk. But now it's just, like
I feel like it's helping you with all the content you're doing right now on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like the way you've exercised how you talk about things.
Yeah, for sure. Like what's cringy, you know what I mean? What's like not that funny? Like the sifting process has gotten a lot stronger, I believe.
Yeah. No, I've definitely gotten some amazing bits out of this pod, bro. I love it.
Shout out to all the f-ing listeners and viewers, man.
Shout out to all the listeners, all the viewers, and Steffi, who will be back.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I do feel like I miss Steffi because I feel like she adds this, like, when we get awkward, like, there's something that she kind of fills that little area with.
For sure. I miss Steffi because I just miss her, like, she's such a weird person.
She's like a little cute alien.
She's a
and honestly, she dresses like better than both of us. So when she comes, it does add like a coolness, like even to the visuals of it. Yeah. Because like our set is cool, but we come like so like underdressed while Steffi comes like super well dressed.
Yeah. Very Fifth Element. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I miss Steffi for sure.
Man, summer is here. I'm excited. I feel like I'm going to take up a couple of sports. Surfboarding is something.
Summer must hit different when your body's nice, huh? Let's be honest.
It's not there. No, it's not there.
No, I'm just saying, like, every time, like, December rolls around, I'm like, oh, dude, this summer.
You're built, bro.
I'm built, but I'm built.
You're like, built like two surfboards.
I'm built.
You know? You're built like the old school surfboard.
Yeah, I'm built like a ones? Boogie board. Like, I'm more boogie board
yeah,
than
I mean,
a surfboard.
Still, I love boogie boards, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my.
Your night.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, boogie boards are fun. I have fun memories on a boogie board.
You know, what do you have planned for summer? Wait, what do you mean sports? Volleyball? Like, what are you going to do? Summer sports?
I'm planning a trip to Thailand and Seoul.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You call it that? So you're gonna what? Kickbox or what? What are you gonna do in Thailand?
Thailand. I'm gonna go visit my friend Danny Chung who moved out there.
Yeah, is he still out there?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, he said he's having fun. He's like living like a king out there, you know.
It's like, yeah.
Like, I mean, things are just cheaper and dollar gets you more to be able to like survive. I think it's tough. I can't imagine just picking up your things and moving to a country like that.
To Thailand, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, Southeast Asia is popping. The culture, you know, all these subcultures and everything, the scene is growing.
Yeah.
So I think he feels like, oh, it's an exciting time to be somewhere where you're helping that grow.
For sure. For sure.
I think, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very impressed and surprised at your resilience. Like, when I first met you, I didn't think that you'd be an outdoorsy guy. You know, when you say Southeast Asia, you know, there's different elements out there, like bugs, weather, the humidity, all these things. Like, are you good with that? Like, are you a camping kind of guy?
I never was.
Yeah.
Until I think I started getting more steps in and being outdoors. Mm. I like moving.
Yeah.
So I can't technically say I do like just standing on like a campground and sleeping outside.
Right.
The reason I got used to being outside was just walking through wilderness or terrain.
You're a good passer through.
I love passing through nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Residing in nature, I don't know. I don't know how much I would love that.
I got you.
When you're still, that's when mosquitoes get
you. That's when mosquitoes get you.
When you're moving, mosquitoes can't suck on you.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are like, yo, I want to go to Africa. I've been to Africa. You know what I mean? Once the plane lands,
yeah,
you see like a street post, you see like a lamppost, you can't even see the light, it's just black, it's just like a vibrating
all bugs.
It's just all bugs.
So did you get used to being around bugs?
Oh bro, you know, for punishment back in the day, back in Virginia, my dad would lock me in the garage. It's weird, the garage had the lock on the inside. Well, I guess that makes sense, locked on the inside.
Yeah,
so he just throw me in there and there's crickets, cockroaches. You know what I mean? So I got used to that.
That sounds awful.
It was
terrible. That sounds absolutely terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Traumatizing.
Yeah. Like I'd be in there just like in the dark.
But he didn't lock you up because, first of all, this might get your dad arrested.
No.
It was just punishment and there just happened to be bugs in there.
Yeah, yeah. Just like 2-3 days. You know what I mean? It's not like.
Shut the fuck up.
No, but I was a heinous boy. You know what I mean? Like I deserved everything.
You made
I
me
got.
Feel like. For all the stuff that my dad's done and complaining about.
Honestly,
it.
Yeah, I silently judged you. I was like, oh, yeah, you never ate a cockroach sandwich, did you?
It's like, I'll take your ass whooping and I'll raise you cockroach sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah, it turned me into the man that I am, though. That's why I eat, you know, how I do. I'm. Yeah, I was raised crazy, bro.
Well, you're in Virginia, too. It's a whole different.
Dude.
That's where people, when you find out someone's been missing for like 8 years and you get found again, that's usually the kind of the area, I feel. Or it's always like New Jersey or somewhere close to
someone
a big
the
city.
Sticks. Yeah,
someone really close to a big city, but it's only like 3 miles on the outskirts. It's crazy.
It's very true.
It's insane how close they are.
Yeah, that's
it's
very
really
true.
Sad, man. Really sad stuff. People are f***ing sick. Yeah. Do you think when you were a kid, you were one of those kids that you felt would be easily kidnappable or you'd be hard to kidnap? Like, be honest.
Nah, dude, I would be very hard to I was a biter. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Did I ever bite you?
No, you've never been.
I've bitten everybody.
Style wise. Yes.
No, shut up.
Nah, Like, I'm kidding. Yeah. No. But
there's this myth. Yeah. My mom always told me this. When she was pregnant with me, she ate a lot of crabs, a lot of like sea crabs, you know? And you know how they have pinchers?
Yeah.
Like she ate like a ungodly amount of crabs, like bushels at a time. That's what she was craving. Right. And because of that, she said that the DNA, like I took my grandma was hospitalized by me because while she was like, you know, holding me, I bit a chunk off her flesh, dude.
Oh, wow.
Like I was just a biter, you know, I bit everybody. And it was just like people knew not to get near me or in my proximity because I would nibble on them, man. I was like a little piranha.
So that's why you don't think that would be your go-to move if somebody tried to kidnap you.
Yeah, like I would bite a finger off. I don't, you know, I'd Mike Tyson the shit out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'd be hard to kidnap too.
Why?
I wasn't strong and I was a little scared at times.
But you were loud?
I was smart. I was really smart.
Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm the perfect man.
Hey, well, no. I think I was like very. I was always a little hustler, a crafty kid.
Right. You're a street cat.
I would be like, yeah, I'll go with you, and then I'll go with them, and then, you know, gain his trust to escape. And just
that's walk. A long. And, no, that's I'm not the long play.
I'm not talking about
him molest me
month.
For a little bit.
No, not.
You know what? I'll take it.
No. I'm talking like just.
We're talking preventive measures. You're talking about.
I'd be like, chill. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'll go in the van. So he won't tie up. Right. Feel like he'll tie up anything on me. Go in the van and then just sneak away.
You know, that's one of those things where we hypothetically think that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But nah, he'd tie you right away. You think he'd be like, you think you'd bond with the guy? And he'd be like,
I feel like I've talked my way out of a lot of
that
things.
That is true.
You know?
That is true.
I was a scrawny kid. I've had bullies and I've talked my way out of like getting my ass whooped at times. Like, no, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this,
so
do you?
So you tell the kidnapper like, I'll help you kidnap other kids.
No, I don't know what my move would have been.
Right.
But I would talk, maybe I'll talk him out of like kidnapping me. Like, do you really want to kidnap me? My parents are poor, bro.
Yeah.
They barely care. You're not going to get anything out of this. Trust
me. I'm six
me.
With a mustache right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Like, 3 miles down Western, there's a neighborhood right there. Super stacked neighborhood, rich neighborhood. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, you know? I see you. Yeah, you got that little cunningness in you.
I feel like that's I would finesse my way out of that situation.
Hell yeah.
Is there anything else that we talk about? Should we wrap things up?
I mean, you don't want to talk about serial killers like that. You hear what's going on, right?
No, what's going on?
Because like I forget which state it is. Johnny, do you know about this? I forget which state it is. There's 6 women missing right now, bro.
What?
Yeah. Can you look that up real quick, bro? I know this is.
I haven't been watching the news, so excuse me for my ignorance.
No, it's all good. I just there's a serial killer right now. Portland, Oregon.
What's going on? There's 6 women missing and
found dead.
Like
right now.
Around the same time.
Around the same time in the same city, like in this.
I feel like there hasn't been a serial killer situation in quite a while, right?
I mean. How would you know? Like those are the things. Like you don't know, but yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
You know, I don't want to make
this
glum
look
dumb.
This is awful, though. Yeah, this is awful, man. And then they've been finding people apart from each other, like a few weeks apart or whatever.
Yeah.
This is terrible, man.
That's crazy.
This is awful. Awful.
Yeah, that's the only current event I got.
Thank you for that gloomy news.
Welcome to Glum with Dumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it got really. Dark.
Yeah,
it got really dark. I feel like I think Steffi would be like a hard kid.
Oh fuck
when,
yeah,
during
dude.
Her youth too.
100%.
She'll put up a fight.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
She'll like,
kick you in the balls quick.
Yeah. Let's be real. I'd probably be the easiest one to kidnap.
Yeah,
out of us three.
Definitely.
100%.
Definitely.
You think Alex would be easy to kidnap?
I think Alex is a kidnapper. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my god. Shout out Alex. Shout out Alex.
Alex, I want to see what Alex looked like when he was younger because I can't picture him as like a youth. He has a very like Ajashi face.
I could picture him as a youth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's people that just look older, you know, and he has this like distinguished, matured, older look. So I think as a kidnapper, he'd be like, that's a little
like
man.
I feel like as a kid, he would have had the exact same clothes, hair, hat, everything.
Yeah.
But the toddler version of it.
The Oshkosh Bagosh version of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like everything exactly the same.
Shout out Alex, man.
I love that move. Just the talk a match and just end with like, yeah, he's a good guy though. I've done that throughout my whole life.
Hell yeah, you have.
I'll talk about somebody for 5 minutes straight and then the last 3 seconds, but he's a good dude. And somehow, like, it's supposed to forgive my sins of talking for the last five minutes. Somehow it does, though.
It does.
Yeah, like, I'll talk shit about somebody for, like, 10 minutes and be like, but he has good work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, work ethic somehow saves everything. Yeah, he has great work ethic. I've done that for so much of my life. You know,
you don't really do that no more.
I think if I talk shit about somebody, I low-key kind of respect them, too.
I think, yeah.
Do you agree?
I definitely agree. I think that's what it is. That's why, like, haters, the comments, they like you the most.
Man. Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you're invested that much in that person, or you even know that much about a person to hate somebody, because you got to have a little bit of a backstory if you're going to hate somebody.
A little context, right?
A little context.
A little context.
And that means you did your research.
Exactly.
You know what
the
I mean?
The prerequisite to hate is research.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I do my research. I will memorize someone's Wikipedia before hating. Because you're looking, you're looking for flaws. You know?
I mean, well, when you, you know what I realized? This is a weird point. I'm in my biggest hater mode right when I wake up.
Mm.
I noticed that, like, because you know when you wake up and I brush my teeth, or whatever. Oh no, pre-brush my teeth, pre-bathroom visit. If I look on my phone, and I'm just groggy and I'm looking at it, dude. I stop myself from writing wild shit in the morning. Just because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm just waking. I guess it's the grogginess, right? That's what it is. I just stop myself, you know, pre-coffee, pre-workout. I hate the most in the morning, man.
Morning.
I'm a morning hater, bro.
So I gotta stay away from your phone.
You gotta stay away from, yeah.
This is actually a good form of research I'd like to see.
Yeah.
You know what, people who've gotten canceled off of tweets? I like to see what time of day they let those tweets out.
Yeah.
Because this could save, this research can save a lot of careers.
For sure.
At what time of the day are the most cancelable tweets being sent out into the internet?
Like that.
It has to be either like some late
night
where your brain is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or some morning.
Early morning.
Early morning.
Yeah. I mean, early morning, you feel like let's be real. Like, you wake up, I mean, not but you wake up and you're booting up. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You're booting up. Your CPU's not running at full speed yet. And you see something that kind of irks you a little bit. You're a little bit more sparky, bro.
This research should be done in moments like even calculating the season it's happening. Like around what holidays?
Demographic.
Yeah, like this could be a good research.
Absolutely.
Let's throw that out there. Let's have that research.
Get the analytics.
Done. Let's get the analytics. Johnny, get on top of that. All right. we're gonna wrap things up, man.
Hell yeah.
I think we had a great episode, just bonding. We haven't done one of these.
We need these bro dates.
We haven't done one of these bro dates in
for
a
sure,
while, man. And I'm
for
glad.
Sure.
I'm happy for you. I truly am.
I'm excited for the future of this podcast, man. For real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I sound like I'm leaving.
I don't know.
Like I sound like I was gonna get in a van and go back to Virginia.
I know. You know, I did talk to Rec recently, and he did mention
what
he said that you change up really quickly once you start gaining traction in anything.
That happened one time.
He did mention this
to me. That happened one time. See, you know what the thing is? Rec generalizes so much. Like it was a very isolated moment. So what happened was he was invited to do a mukbang with somebody.
Yeah.
And again, this was the morning.
Yeah.
Holy shit. He texted me this in the morning and he was like, "Yo, Rick, I threw you out there. I threw your name out there for you to come." And I was like, "Why didn't they hit me up first?" Or not first, but like, why didn't they even hit me up?
Yeah.
That's all I said.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, Jesus Christ.
No, because when he said it, I was thinking like, what moments has he done that? So I don't know. I just pictured like some video going viral and you'd be like, you see? You see what the f*** going on right now?
You know.
This viral. I'm out of here. That's
you
what I pictured.
Know that's not my character. I've never done that.
Well, I was just thinking like, what could he possibly have meant?
That's exactly what it was. You know, he got hit up for a mukbang and I was like, man, they should have hit me up.
I did tell you the other week, I was like, bro, Rick got 20,000 followers in like 3 weeks. He was like, two. So I was like, I think that's what he meant. Yeah, I think that's what he meant. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I try to keep myself grounded, bro. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I celebrate little victories. I have to.
No, everybody has to, man. Yeah. You got to keep yourself going with a little something, man. Or this shit gets depressing.
Yeah.
It gets depressing.
For sure.
You know, because everything you hear about growth and progress, everyone's like, yeah, sometimes it takes 10, 20 years. You don't even want that shit to be 10, 20 years, you know? Yeah. I feel like it's hard these days because everything happens so fast that people want faster growth. But the truth is, it doesn't work like that.
As you get older, too, you realize that these mini victories don't really mean as big as you think they do.
Yeah, all they are is exactly that. They're little victories.
Yeah, checkpoints, if you
they
will.
Are checkpoints. And that feeling doesn't last that long.
For sure.
You know,
it's like a good meal, bro.
It is a good, yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, you eat it, and then you're hungry in a few hours,
that
bro.
That is a bar right there. Little victories are just a meal in a day.
100%. You got to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Like a snack. It's not even a it's full not meal. Even,
yo.
It's a snack, bro.
It's a snack.
Straight up.
So you got to enjoy the snack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Let's end on that. Thanks for tuning in this week, y'all. We're going to get back to our regular programming with Steffi, the whole crew. Mm. Stay tuned, man. We got some big things coming. Peace.